Welcome to Local Matters, the radio show about all things affecting Central Kentucky with Alan Stein and Skip Elliott. Brought to you by Citizens Commerce. Switch one time for a lifetime.
Welcome to Local Matters, a presentation of LM Communications, brought to you by Citizens Commerce Bank. Switch one time for a lifetime. I'm Skip Elliott with Alan Stein, and today we're happy to have Stephen Hillemeyer with us from Hillemeyer Nurseries. How are you today?
Good morning, Skip. It's good to be here on this lovely rainy day. Welcome to spring.
One thing I wanted to talk about was how do plants survive this weird weather we've had over the past couple of months?
Well, one thing you'll realize pretty quickly is how resilient that they are, because typical for our Kentucky weather, it's in 1st of March, it was 75 and 80, and we got all pretty excited. Mm-hmm. And then we got a lot of snow, and then we've had some warm, and now we got the rain. And so the flowers don't really know whether they're supposed to come out and play or they're supposed to hold up for a little bit longer.
Plus, with all the rain that we've had, it's crazy.
Well, what's going to happen is, and it's funny because people are asking us all the time, you know, what is going to happen? And of course, I'd love to tell you I know, because then I wouldn't be doing this show with you today. But the reality is, you know, as we get closer to May and June, you know, we get concerned about skipping spring really and just going right into the warmer temperatures. But mm-hmm. with all this moisture that's in the ground, what you're going to see as soon as those 70 and 80 degree temperatures come, things are going to explode.
Yeah.
Wow. Which will be beautiful.
Yeah, it will be.
That's what we want. You know, Stephen, this whole series that we're involved, this podcast series right now, is about how we all live our lives. You know, spring, summer, leisure activities, the things that we like to do, enjoy, have a whole lot to do with our homes and how they look. The aesthetics are really important, but also how healthy they are. And Hillenmeyer's has been a leader in that for, you know, hundreds of years.
177, yeah. Alan. Wow. Can you believe that? I don't look that old, do I?
Well, I was at the 175th anniversary, and you were a lot younger
exactly.
then.
Exactly. It's going quickly.
Well, tell us a little bit about the background of Hillenmeyer's. I think our listeners would have some real interest in that.
Yeah. First of all, I mean, I'm fifth generation in our family. You know, my great-great-grandfather came over from Alsace-Lorraine in France and brought some fruit trees. And for many years, we were a mail-order business, and that's what kind of got us started. And then my great-grandfather was a true horticulturalist, and so he had a real love of plants, and so started growing local plant material and then selling to local folks. And that kind of just started to take off. And as we kind of move a little quicker down the road, what some people probably don't know, Sears and Roebuck, when they were really in their heyday, had a catalog business. And so we were the actual supplier of a lot of plants for the catalog. People would order. And I can remember my dad telling me stories about our trucks having to put a piece of paper over our name, and we would deliver the plants downtown. And they weren't supposed to know that they came from us, but people from Lexington were ordering plants through Sears, even though they came through us. So delivered them right on Main Street, where Portofino's is now. That was where Sears was at that time.
That's crazy.
Yeah. My uncle, Bob Hillemeyer, started our retail center in 1956, 57. Mm-hmm. Kind of a new idea that came from California, of all places. So we were one of the first retail centers around. And that was before you had Lowe's and Home Depot and all those other folks.
Was that out on Sandersville?
On Sandersville Road. And we also had a second location on Nicholasville Road, right where New Circle Road is. So I think I would have liked to continue to keep that location.
Yeah, that would have been a good one.
That didn't work out that way. So, you know, from there, the company has grown and continued to basically change to stay with the times. And landscape design's been going on for well over 50 years. We started doing some maintenance. One of our first contracts from a maintenance standpoint was IBM when they over there off of New Circle Road where the Selectric typewriters were made. So I'm really kind of dating myself today, aren't I?
No, well, this is all historical. It doesn't mean you were there.
Exactly. That's right. I just know this is the history.
Right.
So, you know, we had our retail center, and then we had a greenhouse operation. And several years later, we started mowing horse farms. And right now, we currently have about 30 different farms that we take care of. So who would have ever thought we'd be mowing grass in pastures and paddocks, et cetera?
Haven't you expanded, though, to include, like, Weed Man? That's lawn maintenance.
You know, Skip, that's a whole nother story. And I can remember at one point I was like, well, I'm never going to get in the lawn care business. And, of course, you should never say never, right?
Yeah.
So, 14 years ago, became a Weed Man franchise owner in Lexington. And currently we have two other franchises, one in Nashville and in Murfreesboro. Mm-hmm. And then 5 years ago, we expanded another franchise into the mosquito business. So it's called the Mosquito Authority. And so our thoughts are just trying to, you know, per our topic today, is how can we make everybody's outside environment more enjoyable? And let's face it, you could have the prettiest yard in town, but if you got mosquitoes out there, mm-hmm. you're not going to want to go out there.
No,
so,
not at all.
Why do you think it's so important that people want to have their homes be healthy and beautiful?
Yeah, that's a great question, Alan. You know, there's been many research studies have done on what the psychological effect of having a good-looking yard. And in fact, several of the hospitals we take care of, you know, their patients, you know, when they look out the windows and they see things look really nice, it's kind of like the thought process of when you're on vacation. And you go to these resorts, and it's like, wow, I wish my home looked like that. Well, you can do that. And so if your home is well-kept and, you know, you get a good feeling. But the second principle that is out there is just what it does financially. You know, it's well-documented. I think Money Magazine did an article, and it's probably been 7, 8, 10 years ago, and it was basically the return on your investment, if you do your landscape design and installation and maintain it correctly, within a 5 to 10 year period, you'll get 100 to 200% increase in the value of the dollars that you spent. So there's not too many things you can do that with.
Well, tell me what landscape design means for our listener out there. Just typical guy that owns his home and wants it to look or be easier to take care of.
Well, I think that it's going to just start with just some simple maintenance and just making sure you have clear beds, lines designed, they're edged, and, you know, you can get mulch all kinds of places, and the mulching does a good job of aesthetically. It looks better. It keeps the weeds down in the yard as well as reduces the amount of water. And then a little more complicated would be if you want entertaining areas. I mean, it's just exploded with outdoor kitchens, gazebos, arbors,
ponds. I had
koi
a pond
ponds.
For 13 years.
Yeah. And just, you know, something that when you go outside, I mean, people want to be outside. We've got music out there. You've got lighting. So, you know, the whole lighting world just basically extends the landscape more than just what you see during the day. So, mm-hmm. you know, you have friends over, and it's just a really cool thing to walk outside. You got a fire pit going, or you're cooking burgers, or whatever.
Do you have relationships with other vendors who provide some of those services beyond landscape design? But you mentioned kitchens and lighting and that sort of thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that we can self-perform, but we're not the best at all of those things. But we serve the purpose to really kind of do the overall master plan for a client. So, you know, we'll start off by, you know, tell us what you'd like it to be.
Yeah.
And then we'll basically try to put all that together. And then if there's things that that we're not really good at, so some of the masonry work we wouldn't do. The electrical work, we're not trained. There's plumbing. And those types of things, you know, there's trades that are better suited for that.
Yeah, you can get into a whole lot of stuff.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And do you do a maintenance around pools very often, too?
You know, the whole pool, you know, we'll do the design. We'll have those installed.
Okay, you can do that.
Yes. And so we'll work with a contractor and, again, be the lead person. And it's amazing how many people that you hear stories of contractors taking advantage of them. And so one of the things with our reputation is we've been able to, you know, people trust us and they know that, you know, they're not going to have to worry. And if there's a warranty or guarantee, you know, we're going to stand behind it. And if we've used a contractor, it's up to us to back that up.
What is the most typical thing that a homeowner will ask you to do? Not everybody can afford to do all of the high-end kind of bells and whistles that you talked about.
Alan, I think you should do this for a living because that's another really good question. I'm really proud of you this morning.
You picked your career correctly.
Yeah, he's good with this.
Podcaster elite.
Yeah. That is like a no-brainer. I mean, the number one people say is they want it to look nice, et cetera. But the key word is we want low maintenance. And so you'll see some yards in it. They have kind of a hodgepodge of a little of this and a little of that, and somebody gave them this, and they just kind of, they don't know, so they just start planting stuff everywhere, and then, you know, they'll look up, and they're just like, oh, my God, this place is a mess, and we don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
So
you've seen my backyard.
You know, I wasn't going to go there. Skip, now that you brought that up, we need to have a conversation when we get done here. But, you know, it's really just the KISS method. Keep it simple, stupid. Mm-hmm. I mean, just try to less is more. Try to find out maybe, again, how do they want to use a yard? And it's usually just a whole lot less. So a varieties of things and just simplifying. And then all of a sudden, you know, it just has a better feel. And it's really the same thing like with your garage or your closet or anywhere else. I mean, you got all that clutter. It just doesn't feel good. So mostly what we're doing is trying to help people simplify.
This is Local Matters, a presentation of LM Communications, brought to you by Citizens Commerce Bank, which one time for a lifetime. Our guest today, Stephen Hillenmeyer from Hillenmeyer Nurseries.
Let me ask you another question. What is the most popular thing in terms of, you know, curb appeal, landscaping? What are most Lexingtonians like? Is there a Lexington style?
Not pear trees.
Well, I'd have to put boxwoods in there. Boxwoods are just a very sophisticated, classic southern plant. And so we see a lot of boxwoods in our plantings. Dogwoods are a clear favorite. Most people get a little confused, even though dogwoods are a native tree to our state. Most people want to plant them in the front yard and, you know, they are more of an understory tree. So they like to be planted where they're getting semi-sun shade. And not that you can't have a dogwood grow in full sun, but typically the ones that do the best are in kind of a shady condition. So azaleas are still very popular, hydrangeas. You know, those are some of the really top ones that we see used frequently.
What are some of the things that folks might see as they travel that we can't do here?
Plants that are going to be really probably Georgia and below that. But any of the tropical plants,
right.
A lot of the, you know, you'll see ficus trees and stuff like that in the southern climates that just grow everywhere. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're just not going to make it here.
I had, when we visited Ocala, Florida for a little while, I used to live down there, and I wanted to bring a palm tree up, but I wanted to bring a baby one up so mm-hmm. I could see if it worked. Did a little research. There was a pindo palm that was good for 20 degrees below zero. Got them, brought them up, planted
them. What was
it
called? Pindo?
P-I-N-D-O. And they're supposed to survive up here. No.
No.
Did not. It started, but then we had the on and off again winter, summer thing that we always do, and the plant said, until you guys figure out what we're doing, sorry.
Yes. Yeah, it's really hard sometimes because you see some of those. And the further north you go, what happens, most everything that's in the north of us, we can bring to here. But the ones further south, yeah, they just aren't going to do well coming up.
This is only tangentially relevant, but there is a ballpark, a minor league baseball stadium in Peoria, Illinois. And they have a bar, tropical bar area that is open during the season. Uh-huh. Obviously, they don't have palm trees there, but they do. They truck up 6 palm trees from Florida once a year. They plant them. And then, of course, they don't survive beyond the summer. But, you know, that they have real palm trees up there. Mm.
What the things you'll find in minor league ballparks.
Well, that's true, too. So let me ask you this, Stephen. You mentioned climate change. You've been in this business a long time, and your family, as you said, 177 years. What do you think is going on? Or is it just, you know, aberrational, what happens with our weather? It seems to us in the short term that things are pretty dramatically different than they might have been in our lifetime.
Yeah. You know, when I was a kid, it would get cold in December, and it would be cold December, January, February. And I mean, it would be frozen, and it just stayed cold. And clearly that's not the case today. I'm way out of my league with what's going on with the global warming, et cetera. But I did see an article. A guy said something one time that I thought that made sense. And his comment was, you know, you can't look at weather in terms of, you know, 20 or 50 years. You got to look at it more in 100 years. Mm-hmm. And so even though, yes, there's no doubt things, it's warmer than it used to be. There's plants that we used to not be able to grow in. I'll come back to the boxwoods. I mean, boxwoods, when I was, again, younger, I mean, it was like every 7 to 8 years you had to replace them because they would die back because of the winters. Mm-hmm. And that's not the case now. And so the American boxwoods, we can plant those and they do great. So there's no question that we're seeing it warmer than it has been in the winters. But is that something that's going to stay? I don't know, but probably in my lifetime, I'm going to say it's you know, going to continue like this for a little bit. And, you know, we're actually getting a little more snow than we used to have, but yet the winters are still warmer. So it's a real hodgepodge.
I assume in your industry, and I know you are one of those the leaders in your industry, and you're always learning and trying to do more seminars, and you and of course Chase and Seth, your sons, are in your business with you, mm-hmm. Are real experts. And I wonder if these conversations are going on all around the country in your industry, how it's changing and what do we do? How do we stay ahead of it?
Yeah, it's a challenge for the growers because of, especially if you're in the tree market, because you're planting something and you're trying to anticipate what the market is going to do 5 to 6 years, you know, down the road. So there's a lot of planning that has to be done, and then things can change, be it weather or, you know, something everybody's really familiar with is what happened with all the ash trees. The emerald ash borer, right, has pretty much wiped out that entire business. Anybody had ash trees, which was one of our favorite trees. It was well adapted to this area. The droughts, et cetera, is a great, great tree. And unfortunately, it's really suffered. And, you know, you just never know when that next thing's going to hit.
You know, the ash borer really impacted the ballpark here in Lexington, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were about a third of the landscape trees
were ash.
Were ash. And,
yeah, and there were growers that had fields of ash trees, and so the quarantines came up, so they just basically had to bulldoze them, mm-hmm. and just because, you know, you couldn't sell them to anybody.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So who knows what's going to be the next one? There'll be something.
What about trees? What about I've got a tree in my backyard, for instance, that has been through the two big winter storms that we've had. And half of it looks like it's dying. Half of it looks like it's okay. If I get up there and snippers, I can get it cleaned out. But if you want to replace a tree that you just uproot that tree, would you start with a sapling?
Well, I think when you're purchasing a tree, it's one of the few times that you can buy time. Mm-hmm. So depending on how much you want to spend can determine how big the tree is. Mm-hmm. And you could buy something that, you know, could be a $50 tree, or you could buy something that could just add more zeros.
Right.
And so, you know, there's multiple ways that you could kind of look at that. Size-wise, if you think about buying a 2-inch caliper tree would be a good standard. Mm-hmm. And people say, well, what if we put a larger one in? Well, over time, that 2-inch tree will probably catch up to the 5-inch caliper tree, which would be a 20, 25-foot tall tree. But for those first 5 years, you have a much smaller tree. But long-term, it will move ahead.
Well, unless you get like a tulip poplar that just goes straight up. Right now.
Absolutely. it doesn't take them long to get going.
Yeah, that's right.
And we really appreciate your time today, Stephen Hillemeyer from Hillemeyer Nurseries. And that wraps up this week's Local Matters, brought to you by Citizens Commerce Bank. Switch one time for a lifetime. Join us next time on Local Matters.
You've been listening to Local Matters, the radio show about all things affecting Central Kentucky, brought to you by Citizens Commerce. Switch one time for a lifetime. The views expressed in this podcast are not necessarily the views of LM Communications Broadcast Media Group affiliates or sponsors.